following message was recorded live from Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta, Canada.
Well, we're just finishing up a series, so if you're joining with us, you're on week five of a series that we're finishing called Uncharted, and we've been looking at how do we go forward doing life today when we haven't been this far before? Like everywhere we go in life, whatever stage, whatever season, we kind of are always charting new ground ahead of us. So how do we get direction as a follower of Jesus Christ? How do we hear him? How do we follow him well? And how do we find the different tools that God has given us to give us that kind of direction? And so throughout the series, we've talked about how we've got to prepare ourselves to hear well. And we have to be able to receive what he says and whether or not we're even willing to do that. Where's our commitment on whether or not we actually will listen if he wants to speak? But the premise behind all that is actually God does want to speak. In fact, he's active and alive, and he, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Spirit's in us. And so he's communicating all the time. He desires to talk. He desires to show us stuff. And really, most of the time when we don't feel like we're hearing God or understanding God, a lot of it has to do with our own stuff getting in the way. Or maybe we're just not willing to hear what he's trying to say. And so the frame over there is talking a little bit about Scripture and how God has given us through his word the kind of the content of what he wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to go through life hopeless and helpless and without direction. He wants us direction. He wants to know. He wants us to know how to love him well, how to do relationship with him. He wants us to know how to do relationship with other people. He wants us to know what our character should look like in line with his character. And he wants us to know about his purposes, his plans, what he's trying to do in the world, what his story is, so that we can actually align with his story and do life with him. And so he wants us to know these things. So he's given us tools. And last week we talked about his Spirit being our guide and how inside of us, when we ask good questions of him, he is so eager to share. He's so eager to talk when we ask him the right questions. And when we talk about our uniqueness of our own lives and what he wants to do with us to help us fit within his structure, his word, his plan, what he's all about and how he wants to do that. Today we're going to look at kind of the context of community and how does God use community to help direct and guide and correct and keep us on his agenda, on his plan, living within the frame. Where does community fit and does it fit? And what is Christian community? We live in community all the time. We live in some of you Red Deer or Central Alberta or smaller community or parts of this area. You'd say, this is my community. You have a school or you have a workplace or you have a family. And so you live in community all the time. And so when you hear that, some of you are like, yeah, I live in community. Check mark, done. Well, today we're going to talk about living in Christian community. What's the difference? What does the Bible mean when it tells us to live with each other, to belong to each other, to do life with each other? What is Christian community? And so I guess the starting framework of what Christian community really is all about goes back to what we were talking about with God's word and God's framework. Christian community is a group of people that gather together to learn together about God's frame, about how it is we're to love each other, how it is we're to love God, how our character is supposed to reflect his character, our purposes are supposed to line up with his purposes. So Christian community has a foundation to it. It has a guide to it. It has a compass to it. It has direction to it in that we gather together acknowledging what God has already said is truth for living life. It's not truth necessarily to just understand, but it is truth that we live out. And that's dramatically different. Often, you know, we can go to church and we can go to Bible studies and we can learn a lot about the frame. We can study it. We can memorize it. We can know all the verses about how we're supposed to love people. We can memorize how we're supposed to love God. And we can understand it. And we can actually critique it. We can argue about it. We can get books and commentaries and dice it all apart and talk about Greek words and all kinds of stuff about the frame. But Christian community isn't supposed to be focused on becoming the frame experts. It's to become livers, to live out, live inside of this frame. So Christian community gathers together acknowledging God's word as the foundation for living out day-to-day life, and does it together. It doesn't do it alone. So we believe the Bible reveals these things to us, and we agree that we need to live that out. It's really important we understand that. In short, it would say that Christian community grabs hold of the frame, grabs hold of God's word, says this is truth that I need to live out every day, and I need other people to help me. I can't do it by myself. I was talking to a friend of mine this week. We were at the gym hanging out, and sometimes we get off on weird conversations, and we were talking about people we work with or people we talk to, and how sometimes they can kind of flip and about change their views all the time about how they see life. And he said, you know, it's actually really easy to live outside of the frame of God's word. Because if you don't like it or your life doesn't all of a sudden represent something you believe, you can just change it. You can say, actually, I don't believe that anymore. I changed my mind. Marriage isn't for, you know, forever. It doesn't work that way. So why think that way? Or you could change your mind about your character and you can say it's not really that important. Or you can change your mind on forgiveness. You can change your mind on all kinds of things if you don't really hold to an anchor or hold to a compass. So what a Christian community does is different. Christian community, first of all, agrees ahead of time. This is the compass. This helps us follow Jesus Christ. We believe it is true. And now we go about living that out. Now that becomes tricky. It actually becomes really difficult. Because if you're like me, there's lots of stuff in here that I believe is true, but it's not so easy in practical everyday life to just do it. Sometimes I don't want to love my neighbor that much. Sometimes it's really hard to put God above everything else, I'll be honest. When there's so much coming at me and so many other demands, it's hard to stay focused on what is important. Sometimes the lure of money or stuff gets in the way, and I start to long for that stuff when I should be longing for His kingdom and for Him. And so it's not easy, actually, to have a compass to say, this is it. This is what I stand on. And so he was saying, it makes us great targets, doesn't it? Because I was saying, it's too bad that we're, you know, so often we're pegged as hypocrites. And he said, but that is what it is when you already ahead of time say, I believe this. And I'm trying to follow. And I'm not perfect, and I don't get it all right, and I'm trying to figure it out. And here's the thing. Community, God's design for you is to not do this on your own. Last week, we talked about our frame, which is hanging in the middle, that God speaks about our unique life, our unique circumstances, our passions, our desires. He talks about the things that we struggle with in our character. He talks about all this stuff. He reveals to us His heart's desire for us and how we fit. And a lot of us, we get excited and we go, I'm hearing Him. I understand the character issue I have. It's not all that exciting some days, but some days it's like, wow, revelation, I messed up. All right, thank you, God. Sometimes it's like, you know what, I got to realign my priorities, and you heard God speak, and if you're here last Sunday, I hope God's poked different areas of your life, and you're like, I, that's true, God's speaking to me, and it gets exciting until you walk out the door, and now you got to do the hard work of realigning your frame to fit. Here's what you need to know, God never designed you to do that on your own. Never designed you to do that on your own. So we read, and I want to just backtrack. We're going through Romans chapter 12, really. And so I have Romans chapter 11, the last verse, because you can't, just because your chapters end and start, doesn't, we've learned that this summer, doesn't mean that's how it's supposed to be read. So in Romans 11, 36, we learn, for everything comes from Him, exists by His power, and is intended for God's glory, which means all of our lives exist for God. The number one purpose of our life is to give God glory. That's why we exist. So we read on and it says, so then What we need to do is take our life, if our life is to glorify him, and we are to lay it before him as a living sacrifice. All of our dreams, all of our character, all of our hopes, all of our relationships, everything we love, everything we desire, and we take it all and we lay it before him and say, this I give to you, will you bring glory from my life? That is what worship actually is. And so we read on that in order to do that, in order to bring glory with God's life, then we need to change the way we see life. We need a renewal in our brains. We need to think differently. We need a frame, a framework. We need to understand God's way, understand God's character, how God wants us to live in relationship with him and others, what God's purposes are. And we do that, we get a new framework. And when we have a new framework, then we're able to see how our life fits within his will and desire. That's exciting stuff. But he doesn't stop there. Then he continues on and he says, now, as you're about to run out the door and you're getting all excited about accomplishing the world, fixing all your issues, don't think you're better than you really are. Slow down. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. How am I going to be honest in my evaluation of myself? Because truly, I deceive myself a lot. I honestly sometimes think I'm better or worse than I really am. So he says, in order to get your frame in God's frame properly, you need an honest evaluation. We need to measure ourselves by the faith God's given us. So what we're going to do is we're going to figure out how our frame measures up in light of what God has given to us. And so we have to do that. Here's how we do it, he says. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. With my eyes, I can see. My hands can grab things. My feet can move me, right? So it is with Christ's body, the church, the Christian community. We are many parts. Look at us. We're all over the place. We're parts of one body, though. And we all belong to each other. He goes on to say, and we won't read it all. He says, God has given each of you out here, each of you, special abilities. Special ways in which you can help each other. He says, some of you are good teachers. Some of you are great encouragers. Some of you are great at gifts of mercy and kindness. Some of you are great abilities in giving. So whatever it is that God has given to you, to what? To live in community, do it well. He says, love each other. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Be real. Live in community. Be authentic. Be who you are. Be a part of the body. You are a necessary part of community. Often in churches today, we talk very much about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with the Father. And that is true. And that is right. That God wants, that's why these chairs, he wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants to sit down. He wants to talk. He wants to speak with you. Yes, that is all true. But when you accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, when you accept that he paid for your sins, when you accept that you have no barrier between you and God, that you can have an intimate relationship, he has done something else when he puts a spirit in you. He has united you with others. You become a piece of the body of Christ. You become connected into Christian community. You are not meant to go out the door and try to figure this out on your own. You are not to superhero this thing. You are to do life with each other. Why? Because you only have piece of the body. You can't accomplish everything that God has for you without others. That's what he's saying. You're only like a hand. You're only like an eyeball. That's not complete. It's just ick. You need all of it. The body can't do what the body's meant to do if it all doesn't show up. We need to show up in Christian community so that we can make a difference in Central Alberta, so that we can make a difference in the world. We are called into community. We are born into community by the Holy Spirit. In North America, I was just thinking this between services, so this is a bonus. But this is like a, it's like an extra add-in. It's like a good feel type thing. It's like, oh, we get to have Christian community. But you got to know that most places around the world today, Christian community is a necessity, not a luxury. Because when they accept a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when they get baptized, they look around the room for other believers and they truly become their family because they lose it all. They don't have a family anymore. They don't have safety anymore. They have nothing to go back to. And their commitment to Jesus Christ, he takes them and he brings them into community. And it literally becomes their all, their family. This is the book of Acts. And this is today in the Middle East and a lot of places around the world. They can't do it alone. They know it. The problem with us in the West is we just think we can. But you can't. It is hard to live within God's framework without the means that God gave us to do that. He gave us the Holy Spirit to speak to us about his frame, to help us, but he's given us each other to help us live that out. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. So how do we do that at Crossroads? Well, we get you to shake hands when you come here. Christian community. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know and I know that that actually doesn't give you Christian community. It's not like, I mean, if we gave you a minute, maybe, tell them all your struggles, tell them all your sins, ask them to pray for you. Right now, you got 30 seconds to shake each other's hands and do that. You wouldn't do it, you couldn't do it. So what is it, how do we do this at Crossroads? Well, we do this by talking about groups a lot. I talk about groups a lot. You need to find a place to go where you can be known and know others. What do we mean by being known? Which means people know your frame. People know who your relationships are, what's going on in your relationships. People know what you care about, your desires, your passions, what you long for. People know about your character. You know, if you're lucky enough, you'll get a few people in that community who bring out the best of your character. And so they'll figure out your character pretty fast. Sometimes we get blessed with other community to bring out the worst. But nevertheless, they will know your character. And they will know what your desire and your long for and your purposes are. What you live for. It's really easy as you get to know somebody to figure out what they're really all about. That's what we mean by Christian community. A Christian community is exposing my frame, how I live my life, to a group of other people for scrutiny, to hold it up for them to evaluate it against God's frame of how we are to do life. That isn't always comfortable. That isn't always fun. In fact, that is why most men avoid it like the plague. We don't want to talk about our feelings or anything on the inside. This is why I have come to the conclusion that God, working with me, I believe this. Christian community is actually a discipline. Christian community is a discipline, which means it doesn't always feel good. I discipline myself so that I can do something naturally that doesn't come naturally. That's what a discipline does. I do something over and over again in such a way so that I can do something naturally that first isn't natural. And guess what? My natural tendency, my inborn sin nature that I'm dragging around with me, does not like to fit within God's frame. I don't always want to love my neighbor. I don't always want to forgive that person. I don't always want to not desire the things of God. Sometimes I want to desire the shiny things. But I expose it in a disciplined way so that I will learn how to live within God's frame and it becomes my natural way of life. That's what Christian community looks like. And that's why we promote groups, because you can't experience that here on Sunday morning. And I truly do not believe that you will go forward and that you will grow without being actively involved in a Christian community. I'm not talking about Christian friend fellowship and potlucks and picnics, even though we're doing one. They're great. I'm talking about the discipline of exposing who I am to a group of other people who will love me, support me, care for me, correct me, pray for me, and journey with me as I try to live within God's frame. That's what Christian community is all about. Why do I need it, and why do we need it? We need community for help in listening because of this. We all have an amazing capacity for self-deception. We all have an amazing capacity for self-deception. In other words, I can hear whatever I really want to hear sometimes to justify however I really want to live. So I need others. There's all kinds of people that live a life completely contrary to God's frame and yet have no problem walking around saying, I believe in it. Why? How is that possible? Because of our amazing capacity to do that. In fact, there's a whole part of the social sciences, all of counseling and psychology, kind of like comes from this main theory, this capacity we have, cognitive dissonance, which basically says, the theory starts when we seek consistency between our behaviors and our beliefs and values. We long for that not to be hypocritical. And so if we start to do something that goes against what we claim we believe in, we feel a tension, we feel a stress, and it bothers us to the core. And so human capacity says, I gotta fix that. So there's a couple ways that we tend to fix it. Let me tell you what they are, because you've probably seen yourself function in some of these. But this is the basic of really good counseling, is helping someone figure out why they're frustrated with the way they live and the way they feel or the way they perceive something when they don't fit. And so there's a couple ways. First of all, I would say God's way would be we change our behavior. If we believe God's word is truth and to be lived out, not just believed in, and we are living contrary to what he says, then we feel the stress, we feel conviction, we don't feel good. We can change our behavior to line up. That's obedience. Now, that isn't always what we do, though. So there's a couple other things that we tend to do as humans, whether you're Christians or non-Christians, whether you're believers in the word is truth or not. But when you encounter this tension of saying you believe something, some people just change what they believe in, right? Some people start recruiting information, finding more reasons, and finding someone who would agree with their position. Lovely internet now allows us to do this quite easily. It's very easy to find some speaker, some author, a pastor even, some book who will agree with your position, that will tell you, no, what you're doing is okay. And so what we often do is we find reasons, gather information, read articles, surround us with stuff that would say, actually, don't feel bad or guilt or conviction. It's okay to live the way you're living. It's really easy to do today. It's easy to find groups and authors and books and articles and all kinds of information to justify. And so we'll walk away with less stress going, aha, I found my new crew to hang out with, new friends maybe, new coworkers. Or another way is to reduce the value of the truth. To say, well, that was true. It could be true for some. But today, for me, in my circumstances, in my day and age, in my life, I don't think it is so true. That's another approach. And so we'll see people doing that quite easily, saying, well, I no doubt it was true, but I think it was more specific to someone else. True for them, not so true for me. This is what we do. One of the another things we do in response is we scatter. Kind of like, no, I won't use that word. That's bad. Not a bad word, but now I got to say it. Or you think I was thinking bad words, right? Like a cockroach when the lights come on. It's kind of what we do, right? Truth exposes, Scripture says, it exposes the motives of our heart, exposes truth. And so sometimes we just scatter. And so one of the first things that we do is avoid truth at all costs. Stop reading. Don't read the Bible anymore. Stop being part of community. Stop going to church. Isolate yourself. Don't hang out with those people anymore. One of the first signs of people going through a tough time when their frames aren't lining up with God's frame is usually they isolate themselves from community. I'm sure you've seen this over and over again, or they stop going, they stop reading. They just don't want that truth exposing anything anymore. This is why we need Christian community. Because our nature has a hard time wrestling. We can trick ourselves, justify, deceive. And so there's going to be times where we stumble. The truth is, we need truth tellers in our life. It's not always fun, but we need them. We have a love-hate relationship with truth. Sometimes you really want to know what people think, but you really don't want to know what people think. And you want it and you don't want it. And we need it though. I need it. We have blind spots. There's things that we can't see because of who we are. And the Bible says that's true. There's things that you can't do alone. And I've given you the body for this, to help each other, to encourage, to go forward with. And so in community, what I'm doing is I'm exposing my frame to God's frame amongst people. That doesn't always sound fun, but it's a gracious environment. The thing is, there's lots of instructions on how to be a Christian community, how to love each other, uphold each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, because the bottom line is we're all in the same boat. So it's not just fellowship. It's not just fun. Sometimes it's hurt. It hurts, but it doesn't harm. It's a great way to look at it. Sometimes it hurts, but it doesn't harm. You know, when you get a surgery done, like, it hurts. That's why they put you under it, because you wouldn't stay there very long. It hurts, but it's not harmful. And so that's what Christian community needs to be. And sometimes we need to learn. We need to relearn how to do that, because some of you have been basically harmed by Christian community. And I'm sorry for that. But you can't run from it forever, because you can't do life following Jesus Christ without it. So it's a grace-filled environment. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'll just read it to you. I love that passage. I think about it a lot when it comes to group life, the way why we do it. Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 4, I can just read it for you. Verse 9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Christian community, it's meant to be there for you, to be a part of your life. Jesus told his disciples, things will come that cause people to fall away, that cause people to stumble. In James, we read, when you are tempted, and Paul talks about it in Corinthians, when you are tempted, things come. Things will come. When? Not if. When? When you're tempted, when you stumble, when it comes. And it can come from so many directions. It comes from sometimes sickness or loss. Sometimes it comes from blessing, actually. You can be tripped up just as bad from a loved one dying as you can from prosperity or promotion. Things come, it causes us to take our frame and rip it outside of God's framework and do life a different way. Those times will come. And when they come, it's important that you have someone that can pick you up, that can help you realign, that can help you get back on your feet. Small groups have been around a long time. John Wesley, you probably know that name, large church movement many years ago, decided that they would do small groups in his church. And so they came up with some questions that before you could be a part of one of the groups, you had to agree to. You had to answer these questions. Basically, it had to be yes before they would let you come in. I want to read a couple to you. First of all, what sin do you have that's inward or outward that has dominion over you? So you had to tell them basically whatever you struggled with. And then the next question you had to answer is, do you desire to be told your faults? Of course, you had to answer yes. The next question was, do you desire to be told all of your faults and plain and clearly? Next one, consider, do you desire that we should tell you whatsoever we think, whatsoever we fear, and whatsoever we might have heard or hear concerning you? Now there's Christian community, eh? I'll scare the living around you right there. We have Christian community here, and we do it in groups, and we would love for you to be a part of that. I want to share with you some of what we do at our groups. I want to share with you how we ask questions. Last week we talked about how do we ask questions of God so that we can grow. I want to share with you quickly, what are questions we should be asking of each other? This is awesome stuff. It's so practical. You can take these questions and on the way home you could do it with your spouse or your kids on date night. You can do this in your groups. You can do this with your neighbors. These are the questions that we ask our groups to talk about. Because it's really important if we want to grow. So I'm going to put them on the screen. Questions that we help each other grow. One of the first questions that we ask is, what have you been learning? What have you been learning from God's word? In other words, what have you been hearing Jesus say? Because why? Our basic belief is this. God speaks. He talks. He communicates. And so one of the first things that when we gather together Christian community, it should be, what have you been hearing? What is God saying? What have you been reading about? What's exciting that God's been telling you? And we talk about that. And so today at the end of church, you could say to each other, hey, what'd you hear? What was Jesus saying to you? As Sean was rambling, what did God say? The next one is quite simple. So how does your life reflect that truth? How does your life reflect this that he's talking to you about? God's speaking. What's your frame look like? What's your frame look like? So God talks to us about things we learn, right? In God's word, he talks about his character. He talks about loving our friends and families and neighbors and enemies, loving people. He talks about loving him and putting him first. And talks about purposes and plans and a future. So usually it's on one of those topics. So we look at our own frame and we say, how does the way I've built my life reflect what he said? He's talking to me about loving people differently. How does my life uphold that? Do I live in Christian community? It'd be a great question. Does my life reflect that I live in a discipline of Christian community, that I let people see who I really am? Does my life reflect that? It's a great question. The next question is then, what steps of obedience do you think you should be taking? So it's just asking that person, so what do you think you're supposed to do? You heard God say this. Your life looks like that. What do you think he wants you to do? You'll notice in this, in the context of our groups, that in the philosophy of doing life with each other, there's very little of, I need to get what is in my head into your head. I don't like that very much in groups. I don't like that very much in mentoring. I don't like that very much in discipleship process, because the bottom line is God is already at work in people. My job is to come alongside them and say, what is God doing in you? What is he saying? What is he up to? What are you going to do about it? That's all you need to do. And so in our group, sometimes we'll discuss the frame. We'll look at what God says about loving people. But then we quickly move and say, so what does this look like? Next is simply, so what will you do about it? What are you going to do? What will you do? And what do you need God to do? So often there's steps that we need to take, but it's like, what, I need God to give me strength to just follow through. Or I need God to create opportunity. I heard a great story this week. I can't share it, but or someone just, God spoke to them and they said, you know what? This is like, I need to do this, but God, I don't know how you want me to do it. What I need you to do is create the opportunity. And he sent me an email. I said, you wouldn't, but God created an opportunity. And I was so shocked. I didn't do anything about it. And the opportunity went away. And he said, but I knew that he did it. I was just so shocked. So I prayed again. I need a second one. I need to try it again. Can you create another opportunity? And God created another opportunity. He said, I was able to do it because God did his part. So the question is, what do you need to do? What does God need to do? And that's what we pray about. And then the last thing is, what do I need to do for you? How do I help you? How do I help you be obedient in what you're trying to do, what God's saying? Do I need to pray for you? Do I actually need to call you? Do I need to walk with you? Do I need to hold you up? Do I need to go with you? What do I need to do? That's Christian community. Christian communities, we're in it together. It's what we need. It's what we need to long for. We need to do this life with Jesus, with others, because it's not easy to do it alone. And you were never, ever meant to. Basically, it's living in the Word through the power of the Spirit with his people. If you go through the GROW model that I just gave you, I tricked you a little bit. Basically, that's our training to how to become a group facilitator. You're all trained. Done. Because we just want people that will walk with people as they walk with Jesus. That's all it's about. People that agree with the frame, that this is God's truth worth living, and I'll walk with somebody. You know, we do need groups this fall. If God's calling you to host a group where you can facilitate that conversation, that's the conversation. That's all we look for. There's other training that can come later, but that's it. Or maybe you're just like, I need someone to walk with, and I need to find a group. Well, next week, the catalog of groups will be out, and you need to look at that, pray about it. God, where do you want me? And you need to sign up and get into community. Now, groups isn't the only way to be part of a Christian community. I know that. There's lots of other ways. Serving is a great way to be part of a Christian community. Wherever you expose yourself and let yourself be known, and allow people to hold you up and walk with you as you follow Jesus Christ. Don't do it alone. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given me Christian community. So many times that when life's been tough, you've brought people that can say the right things, encourage me, correct me, walk with me, rebuke me when I need it. I thank you that you haven't left me alone. Heavenly Father, I know there's probably here people who feel alone. Would you help them and guide them into community? Would you show them where to go, where to get connected? Those that have a home and an ability and capacity to host, would you lead them that way to facilitate a group to walk with you? Heavenly Father, would we not be a bunch of superheroes walking out the door just trying to do our best, but what would we do it with the discipline of community, when we do it the way you designed it to be done, doing life with others. I pray that as we unite together and we become one, that our love for each other, as you said in your word, your desires that our love for each other would make the whole world's head spin and say, I want that. Would you be glorified through our Christian communities here at Crossroads? Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.